This is a very strange night. I first came to DE in January 1969. And I came to DE, and it was in the Hilton Hotel at the airport, which no longer exists. And in the entire DE at that time was about 28 people. And chiropractic at that time was probably at one of its lowest ebbs ever, due to a number of reasons. One of the biggest reasons was the Second World War. Because in the Second World War, just about every male in the United States went into the service. And even if you were allowed to stay in college, basically you stayed in college to train to become sort of some type of expert in the service. So as soon as you graduated, you went right back into something in the service. In chiropractic school at the time, there were no exemptions. So basically, chiropractors were taken out of chiropractic school and went directly into the service. So the attendance at chiropractic schools dropped dramatically. Now, the Second World War, and I guess most of you basically did not experience it, was devastating. It was a time in the history of this country unlike any other time. Everything in the country revolved around the war. On my street alone, just about every house had in its window a little blue flag or a little white flag with a blue star on, indicating that that someone from that house was in the service. And the most dreaded person in the world was the man from Western Union. Because if the man from Western Union pulled up to your house, it meant that your son was either dead or missing. And I would walk to school in the morning, and you automatically checked the flags. Because if someone's son had died, then the flag changed, and it was no longer a white flag with a blue star. It became a blue flag with a gold star. And as the war went on, there were more and more windows with blue flags and gold stars. And when the man from Western Union would come, everything on the street stopped. Kids stopped playing. You just stopped playing. You just stood there. And you watched into what house he was going to go. And then he would go into the house, and he would be there for a minute or so, and he would leave. And then in about 10 or 15 minutes, the women from the rest of the neighborhood would come and go into the house to try to console either the wife or the mother of the person who had been killed. And this basically went on for the length of the war. Now, I practice in Florida now. And as some of you probably know, Florida has a reputation of being the waiting room for the dying. And I get older people who come into my office. I have not had one veteran from the Second War come into my office that was not wounded in the war. The devastation of that war was incredible. There was a television program on HBO not long ago called Band of Brothers. I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to watch it. It was the most realistic thing I have ever seen in relationship to what goes on in a combat situation. In Band of Brothers, you saw the comradeship that develops between the men in a squad and in a company. They become your family, your literal family. When I was in the Army, I learned how to kill people. But more than that, I learned how to take care of the man on my right and the man on my left. And he learned to take care of the man on his right and the man on his left. And you became totally dependent one on each other. And to this day, if someone from my company should call me on the phone and say, I need a favor, my immediate answer would be, what do you want me to do? And I don't care what it was, I would do it for him. Because you became that kind of a bond that you develop with your fellow people is so strong. It is stronger than even the bonds you have with your biological family. You would do anything for these people. And those of you who have been in the service know exactly what I'm talking about. In chiropractic now, we need a band of brothers. We need to develop that same type of kinship between us that existed in the service. We need to look out for the chiropractor on our right and on our left. And he or she needs to look out for the chiropractor on his or her right and his or her left. And we need to take care of ourselves. And instead of learning how to kill people, we need to learn how to save people, how to take care of them. When I came down here in 1969, in my state of New Jersey, the majority of the chiropractors practiced chiropractic part-time. They had a real job, and they practiced chiropractic at night and on the weekends. That's how low the profession had gone. And we came to DE. And when we were here, a man by the name of Sid Williams stood up in front of us, and he forged us into a band of brothers. And there was a band of brothers from New Jersey. And there was a band of brothers from Michigan. And there was a band of brothers from Florida. And there was a band of brothers from Illinois. And there was a band of brothers from Missouri. And there was a band of brothers from Kansas. And there was a band of brothers from California. And there was a band of brothers from every state in the Union. And the band of brothers from each state looked out after each other. And what bound us together was something that we called the principle. And the principle was the foundation upon which we stood. And the principle was very simple. The principle said there was a universal intelligence that was responsible for the entire cosmos. And since everything that we know existed inside of that cosmos, including us, we had contact with that universal intelligence. And the individual contact that we had with that universal intelligence was personified into something that was called an innate intelligence, an inborn intelligence. And this inborn intelligence had the same responsibility to us as universal intelligence had to the entire cosmos. The function of universal intelligence was to organize and balance the cosmos. Everything that you look at in the cosmos is exactly where it's supposed to be, doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. The function of your innate intelligence is exactly the same. It's to make sure every single part of your body is exactly where it's supposed to be, doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing in whatever circumstances you are in relationship to your internal and external environment. We knew that there was something that could interfere with the function of this innate intelligence. And the name that was applied to this thing that could interfere with this internal innate intelligence was called a subluxation. A subluxation somehow interfered with the expression of innate in the body, resulting in the part not functioning in time and space in relationship to the rest of the body, causing this body now to fall out of kilter, to lose its balance with the environment in which it lived. The medical profession calls this imbalance disease. We call it interference. We also knew that you could correct this subluxation with something called an adjustment, not a manipulation. To manipulate merely means to move something. To adjust a subluxation means to remove the interference. There is no comparison between the two terms. I know it is very chic now in certain circles in our profession to interchange those two terms, but I'm telling you now, there is no connection between the two terms. Manipulation merely means to move. I manipulate my hand. I adjust to remove interference. And if I remove the interference, I now reestablish the innate intelligence in that individual, thus allowing the proper knowledge in that body to take place, so that body entirety now knows how to respond to its internal and external environment. As a result of that, that particular person now has what we refer to as health. That was the principle. That was what we stood on. Now, not only did we stand on that principle, we proclaimed it. We proclaimed it. He talked about Bob Sotilli before when he was introducing me. Bob Sotilli took full-page ads out in the newspaper telling people that. As a result of that, he irritated those people on the board. And they constantly kept bringing him in, attempting to take his license away from him, because he had the audacity to proclaim the truth of the principle, to really proclaim what chiropractic was and is. And Bobby would go to the state board. In fact, he went so often he had his own chair. He would go to the state board and he would bring his license with him, and he told them if they wanted it, where they could put it. And never once was he fined, and never once was he convicted of anything. Because when you're right, you're right. And when you're willing to stand up for what's right, then you are protected. That was the principle. In the beginning, there were 13 of us principled chiropractors in New Jersey. 13. It took less than a year before we controlled the entire state. How could 13 chiropractors control an entire state? Because we did it with total reckless abandonment. We did not care what they did to us. Not only that, if you picked on one of us, you picked on all of us. One man was in trouble, 13 people stood up. We were protected, the chiropractor on our right and the chiropractor on our left. And if this guy got messed with, we all showed up. And believe me, you did not want to mess with all of us. That was the principle. And we were prepared to defend the principle. There was no insurance. Metropolitan, I think, had the only insurance. And the insurance form was four questions. What's the patient's name? How many times did he come in? What did it cost? And we sent it in. And maybe one in 30 people had insurance. Everything else was cash. We practiced the cash practice. Not because it was, quote, the thing to do. It was the only thing to do. And in practicing the cash practice, you know what happens when you practice cash, when a patient has to come into your office and pay you? You got to produce results. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about this. You got to produce results. You got to deliver. You got to put it on the line. And that's what we did. And we all ran practices, all 13 of us ran practices in excess of 200 patients a day. In excess of that. Some of us advertised, some of us didn't. I had a Mary Benira, which I've told you about before. Mary Benira used to come in. Every time she came in, she would take a stack of cards. And when I mean a stack of cards, I mean a stack of cards. And she went to St. Elizabeth Roman Catholic Church. And on Sunday, she would stand out in front of the church and hand my cards out. Why? Why would she do this? That's exactly right. And she understood the principle. And the principle made sense to her. And the principle was right to her, and the principle ran parallel with the way she wanted to live her life. And she wanted to share this with everybody that she came into contact with. I didn't force her to do this. Did it on her own. She did it on her own. And time went on, and came Medicare. All of a sudden, we were in Medicare. Now we were getting paid without the patient having to pay us. And then this insurance company said, we'll include chiropractic care, and then that insurance company, we'll include chiropractic care, and we'll include chiropractic care, and we'll include chiropractic care, and we'll include chiropractic care, we'll include it, and we'll include it, we'll give you 50 visits, we'll give you 100 visits, we'll give you 150 visits, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. See? And then came into the field the first of the prostitutes. Come to my seminar, I will tell you all the numbers to put down on the insurance form that will maximize the amount of money you can collect from the insurance company. And now, instead of practicing to take care of the people, practiced to see how much money we could make. See, if you put this number down, you can do this. If you put this number down, you can tell them that basically you're putting hot compresses on. If you put this number down and you spit in the air, you can tell them you're doing this. If you put this number down and you do this, if you do this down, you can rub them down. You do this with that, and it goes on and on and on and on. And people were getting $150, $200, $250 for a visit. And this went on for some time until the insurance companies went, wait a minute. Whoa, just slow it down here. And they started to cut back on claims. And they started to send out the notorious six questions. And then they wanted reports, and then they wanted you to send in your records, and they wanted to do this, and they wanted to do that, and they started saying, reject the claim, 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 reject the claim. And all of a sudden, people were going, how do I practice now if the insurance company is not paying me? How do I practice now? I mean, they're not paying me anymore. What do I do now? How about get results? Hey, now there's a very unique thought. See, because the concept was, if I got results, good. If I didn't get results, what the hell's the difference? The insurance company's going to pay me anyway. You know, just keep coming in. You're not paying anything. Come on, come on. Just, you know. How much you charge a doc? Don't worry about it. Insurance company. They'll take care of it. And we trained the insurance company to think differently about what we did. See? Before that, we were principled. We adjusted to remove interference, to reestablish the connection of innate intelligence. But now we were manipulating, we were doing PT, we were doing hot, we were doing cold, we were doing sound, we were doing no sound, whatever. For what reason? To collect more money. And we trained the insurance company in such ways by the diagnoses that we were putting down on the insurance forms, we trained them to think of us as being treatment doctors. Where before we were interference removers. We removed subluxation. That's what we did. I tell you the truth, I never ever put anything down on an insurance form except subluxation. Now, I didn't get paid a hell of a lot because I did that, but I was damned if I was going to lie. So now all of a sudden, people say, well, you know, I'm a principal chiropractor. I can't understand why people don't understand what principle is. And the reason that they don't understand what principle is because we trained them into thinking we were something else. You don't think so? Go home, pick up your yellow pages, look at the ads. How many ads talk about principle in your phone book? What do they talk about? Backache, auto accidents, neck specialist, auto accident specialist, ba-da-bum, 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 ba-da-bum. Oh, I don't understand why people don't understand what we do. They do understand what we have taught them that we do. Which perhaps makes up this much of what chiropractic is. This much. We sold out. The See, now we got a group of chiropractors out there now who basically are tempting us, are making attempts, and very successful attempts, to force us to accept chiropractic on a purely mechanistic, medical model type of situation. And the reason they are able to do this is because we enable them. I started this by telling you this was a strange night, because it reminds me of January 1969. It's time to put the brotherhood back together. And when I say brotherhood, I don't mean it by gender. Tell you a story. Eons of time ago, long, long time ago, before there was any type of civilization, most of the continents were populated by wolves. Now, the wolf is a particularly interesting animal. Because the wolf is territorial, he is fiercely independent. When he mates once and he mates forever. And the wolf is part of a pack. And each wolf in the pack looks out for each other wolf in the pack. And they hunt together and they protect each other together. Which is why they are so successful. And they ran through North America and Asia and Europe. Until one day, they ran into man. And the wolf was there, and man was here. And man came and took a piece of meat and put it down and walked away. And the wolf looked at the meat for a while and then calculated he could get there before the man could get back, ran, took the meat and ran away. And then the next day man came and put the meat down but didn't go quite as far. And the wolf did it again. And the next day man came and put the meat down and stayed about this far. And the wolf now came over, looked at man. Man didn't move. Took the meat and he trotted off. And the next day man put the meat down and stood over here. And the wolf came, looked up at the man. Man didn't do anything. He picked up the meat and he walked away. And the next day man came, put the meat down. And the wolf came and man slipped a noose around his neck. And in a very short period of time, the wolf became a dog. There's nothing wrong with dogs, but they are not wolves. They are not wolves. And years ago, there were chiropractors who were principled, who looked out after each other, who I can almost say ran in packs. And someone came and put some money down. And the chiropractor went over and sniffed at it and picked it up and ran away. And then he came and he put money down again, but didn't go quite as far. And the chiropractor came and picked up the money and ran away. then he stood here and he put it down, and the chiropractor came and picked up the money, and the other person put the noose around the chiropractor's neck. And he held him captive, and he was no longer principal. We're going to be wolves or we're going to be dogs? Are we going to stand up for what is right for us? Are we going to stand up for what we believe? Or are we going to sell out for some money? What's it going to be? Do you want to walk around with a leash around your neck? Do you want to walk around with a leash around your neck and everybody says, come here?
No.
And you trot over? And the guy says, good. Here's $30. You, come here. What do you think about this principal bullshit? Oh, it's bullshit. Good. Here's $30. Hey, isn't that what's going on now?
Yep.
Isn't that exactly what's going on? How many people in this room who fill out insurance forms put down, what you do is I remove interference by correcting subluxation on the insurance form? Hey? How many do that? Or are you walking around with the leash around your neck and the insurance company is jerking it, right? Saying, thank you for saying that. Here, come here, come here, come here, sit, roll over. Beg. Good, good. Here. Here's $30. Is that what you're worth? See, I don't believe in reincarnation. At least I hope there's no reincarnation. Because I don't ever want to repeat the seventh grade. So if there's no reincarnation and this is the only life you got, don't you want to be free? Don't you want to do whatever it is that you understand your mission is? Don't you want to get up in the morning knowing that today I'm going to go out and I am going to complete my mission, and my mission in life is removing interference from as many people as I possibly can. Don't you want to do that? See, the principal never built anybody's practice. I got to tell you that right up front. The principal never built anybody's practice. It was the devotion to the principal that built the practice. The person who walked up in the morning and said, this is what I believe, and because I believe this, this is what I am going to do, and I don't care whether you like it or you don't like it, I don't care what you want to do to me, I'm going to do it anyway. That's the one who's free. That's the wolf. That's the guy that's running through the hills. That's the one that can howl at the moon if that's what he chooses to do. There's no leash around his neck. There's no choke chain. Now I gotta tell you, there are a lot of people out there who are attempting to put a leash around your neck. Know that now. Know it. And there's only one person that can prevent that from happening, and that's you. You can tell them what they could do with the leash. We'll take away your license. Good, take it away. Well, then you can't practice. The heck I can't practice. What are you going to do to me? We'll put you in jail. Fine, I'll adjust prisoners. Hey, you go to Life College, you walk into the bell tower, there's lists of men who adjusted prisoners because they would not surrender on the principle. They went to jail. Are you prepared to go to jail for the principle?
Yeah.
They were. I was at a DE. It was early 70s. It was a Saturday afternoon, and they had Pray the Stars, Saturday afternoon. And this fella came up on a stage. He must have been, I don't know, 80, 81 years old. And he gave a very inspiring talk. And at the end of the talk, he said, "Thank you very much for your applause, but I want you to know, Monday morning, I have to report to go to prison." He was in a state that did not allow him to say that his function in his office was for the removal of subluxation and nothing else, and he refused to back down. So they were putting this 80-year-old man in prison, and he was going, because even at 80 years old, he would not surrender. He would not give it up. I got to tell you right now, just as in the 60s, there was a battle for the principle, for the survival of the principle, that battle is repeating itself right now. There are forces out there that are attempting to destroy the principle because they find it embarrassing. Every time you say the word innate, they cringe. Every time you say, "I adjust to remove interference," they cringe. You are an embarrassment to them, and they are doing everything they can do to destroy you. Just as they did everything they could do to destroy us in the 60s. But you know what? We stood up. We stood up. We did whatever we had to do. And we won, and they lost. These Cairo Nazis are out there again. And they are attempting to take the principle away from you. I got to tell you right now, they're not taking it from me. They're not taking it from Stu. They're not taking it from Sharon. They're not going to take it from Paula. They're not taking it from Joe. They're not going to take it from Dee Dee. They're not going to take it from Sid. They're not going to take it from Dr. Kaufman. They're not going to do it. Because these people will not allow it to happen. Right now, and know this, right now, the center for principle is Life DE. This is the center. This is the only place in the country left that is 100% totally dedicated to principle. This place, right here. And we are in a war to defend it. We're going to need two things from you. We're going to need your faith and your loyalty, and we're going to need your money. Oh my God, he's asking for money. You're right, I'm asking for money. Because it's going to cost money to defend it. Just like it cost us money in the 60s. I never went to a meeting in New Jersey that I did not carry either a $100 bill or two fifties because I knew I was coming out of that meeting without it. Because it costs money to do what we had to do. And it's going to cost money now to defend it. And the reason we have to defend the principle now is because for the last 20 years, we've been running around like fat cats, sitting on our fannies, allowing the other side, the people who want to destroy it, to become so strong that they are now able to grab us by the throat and threaten us. So I expect you to go back to whatever state you come from. I expect you to go back to Florida and organize the principal people in Florida. I expect you to go back to Kansas and organize the principal people in Kansas. I expect you to go back to New Jersey and organize the people who are principled in New Jersey. I expect you, those people in California, to organize the people in California. In Pennsylvania, to organize the people in Pennsylvania. And to start looking to your right and to your left and protecting the chiropractor on your right and protecting the chiropractor on your left. And if one of your chiropractors is threatened, everybody stands up and says, what are you going to do about it? You attack one of us, you attack all of us. I expect you to do what we did in the 60s. Do you have less courage than those people had? Of course not. Are you less talented than they were? Of course not. But you're going to have to do it. Because if you don't do it, it's all over. You might as well take down DC from your name and put MD up next to it, because that's the way you're going to practice. In my state of Florida, we no longer have a chiropractic board. We have a board of chiropractic medicine. Can you imagine? I no longer practice chiropractic. I practice chiropractic medicine. I refuse to put the thing up on my... I will not put it at my office. When somebody asks me what I am, I tell them I'm a chiropractor. I'm not a chiropractic physician, nor do I practice chiropractic medicine. I am a chiropractor. My chief purpose in life is to locate and remove interference so that I can return the life to an individual so that man, the physical in him, can be reconnected to man, the spiritual in him, so that he can become again a whole human being. And I am never going to surrender that. We need an army. You willing to join the army? Or are you going to run home and be a 4F? And I'm not kidding. We need an army. We need you to go back into your states and start organizing your state. Start finding those principal chiropractors. Start holding your meetings. Start building your defenses. Start standing up for principle. And if they challenge you, you go to war with them. Live your life. Live your life. Don't live the life that somebody else wants you to live. Live your life. If you believe what I'm telling you about here, if you are principled, if you believe in the principle, if this is your mission in life, live your life. Don't surrender it. Because one of these days you're going to die and your life is going to be over. And then you're going to go to wherever it is you're going. And God is going to turn you around and let you look back at your life and then turn you this way and say, this is what your life could have been. And it will be like going to hell to see what your life could have been, what you missed. It's your life. Live it. You think you were put into chiropractic by accident? You were put into chiropractic because in the divine scheme of things, it is absolutely essential that you are able to remove interference. You realize that for the world to get... Look at the world. Go out there and take a look at it. You have little five-year-old girls being sexually abused, kidnapped, killed. Okay? You think religion is the answer? Right? You got Jews killing Muslims. You got Muslims killing Jews. You go to India, you got Muslims killing Hindus. You got Hindus killing Muslims. You go to Ireland, you got Catholics killing Protestants and Protestants killing Catholics. Why? You think that's sanity? You think that's being connected spiritually with the innate, with the great universal, with the great spirit? No. That's millions of people being disconnected, being unconnected. That's millions of people who need to be adjusted, who need to have a chiropractor walk up to them and remove this from them. Do you know, we went to Panama, we talk about Panama. Oh, we saw so many people in Panama. We did this so many people. You know, the biggest single thing that impressed me more than anything else about what we did in Panama was that when they went back, the college did a sociological study, and they found that the areas that we adjusted thousands and thousands of people in, the crime rate went down. You think you have a function? You think that basically what you're doing, you have a necessity? What are you dealing with? You're dealing with a human being. What's a human being? A human being is, first of all, a spirit, a soul. And inside this soul is a mind. And inside this mind is a body. And those three things can only be connected if the nervous system is intact. And if the nervous system is not intact, I don't care how spiritually pure the soul is. How can it reflect itself in the body? How can it reflect itself in the mind if it cannot transmit this information to the nervous system? How many times does a patient come into you depressed? How many times does a patient come into you anxious? How many times does a patient come into you full of worry? And you went up there and you removed the atlas subluxation from the brainstem and it just dissipated. And they became reconnected. Do you understand what you're dealing with? Do you understand the power that you have in your hands? The power to change things as they exist today in the world. The power to stop killing, the power to stop little five-year-old girls from being sexually molested and murdered. Would a sane person kidnap a five-year-old girl and kill her? Would a sane person do this? Or would a person with interference do this? You understand what you've got? You understand what happens when you would... See, we go there and we adjust the patient, go, boom, how you feel? Okay? That's the body part that you're asking about. What about the mind part? What about the soul part? What about the changes that occur there? You remove interference from a patient, all three things change. Because they're human beings. They're not bodies. Human. When I was in the army, I was in the medical service. And soldiers being soldiers would go out and have relations with prostitutes. And some people who weren't prostitutes. And they would come back and they would have gonorrhea. And the treatment for gonorrhea was 600,000 units of penicillin. Bang! And the gonorrhea would go away because the organism was what? Was a gonococcus. And then you go out and then you get gonorrhea all over again. 600,000 units of penicillin. Bang! and go away. And then you go out and get gonorrhea again. 600,000 units of penicillin. Bang! It would go away. And then all of a sudden they'd come in with all the symptoms of gonorrhea, but no gonococcus. No bacteria. Where'd the gonorrhea come from? Were you out there? Were you messing around again? No, doc. I promised. I wasn't doing anything. He's got the drip. You do the smear. And it's clean. No organism. They give it a name. It's non-specific urethritis. The heck does that mean? It means that the interference in the nervous system now is producing the symptoms of gonorrhea in the absence of the organism. Y'all studied syphilis when you went to college, right? Wasn't that part of your infectious disease program? Didn't you study syphilis? How many stages in syphilis? Three, right? Primary, secondary, and tertiary, right? Okay. Here's a question I have never, ever, ever gotten an answer to. Right? The patient goes into tertiary syphilis. There is no organism present in tertiary system. Why did they go into tertiary stage of syphilis when there's no longer any spirochete? Want to answer me that? My daughter, when she's 3 years old, develops cerebral meningitis. They pump her full of antibiotics. They keep testing the antibiotics against the bacteria. None of the antibiotics will kill the bacteria. She's dying. See, this idiot doesn't adjust her because she doesn't have a backache. And the pediatrician calls up, who I have to tell you was really set up with her all night. Was a really good guy. And he said to me, you better bring your wife down because I don't think she's going to live through the night. She's 3 years old. And I'm waiting for Loretta to get dressed. And bing, bing, the doorbell rings. I go downstairs. It's the Reverend Mr. Reiser, who's one of my patients. He's a Southern Baptist minister. Really nice guy. And he knows how miserable I am. And he wants to cheer me up, and he knows I'm Catholic, but he can't find anything Catholic, so he finds the next best thing, which is the Episcopalian Book of Common Prayer. And he gives me that. And I take it upstairs. And I sit down, and I'm waiting for Loretta, and I open the book. And on top of the page it says, your daughter will arise in 3 days. And the instant I read that, the thought came in my head like a sledgehammer and went, adjust her, you stupid idiot! And we went to the hospital, and I kept adjusting her atlas, and I adjusted her all night long. Because I would adjust it, go back an hour later, it was back out again. Adjust her, go back an hour later, it was back out again. Adjust her, go back, until it started to hold. And in 3 days, she woke up out of her coma. Not because of the bacteria, not because of the antibiotics, because none of the antibiotics work. At the end of the First World War, there was a worldwide epidemic of influenza. More people died from influenza at the end of the First World War than died in the First World War. Medical doctors were at a loss as what to do. Gave them sulfa drugs, gave them this, gave them that, gave them the other thing. Nothing worked. People were dying like flies. Except in one place. And the one place that they were not dying was the B.J. Palmer Clinic in Davenport, Iowa. Because people who got adjusted in the B.J. Palmer Clinic in Davenport, Iowa, were recovering successfully from influenza. People were trying to get to the clinic by freight train, by any way they could get there. How'd that happen? How'd my daughter get better? I'm telling you now. You don't have a clue as to the power you have in your hands. If you even had a wild imagination of the power that you have in your hands, each of you would be seeing 1,000 people a day and complaining about the fact that you got done by lunchtime. If you could just grasp the power of innate intelligence, the power that you can release in that patient, if you could just somehow get a mental picture of this enormous amount of power that is released when you take away the interference. And this inner now that comes from the same power that created the entire cosmos from nothing, this same power is now released in this individual. How limited is the power that created the entire world? How limited is that power? Is that power limited in, oh, it can't cure cancer? Is that power limited in, oh, it can't cure tuberculosis? Is this power limited? It can't do this, it can't do that, it can't do this, it can't do that. Chiropractor can't do this, chiropractor can't do that, chiropractor can't do this, chiropractor can't. That's right! Chiropractor can't do any of that! But if you release the power, if you release the innate intelligence, if you reconnect, if you tie into that same power that created the cosmos, there is absolutely nothing that cannot be changed. Nothing. Chiropractic is only limited by chiropractors between their two ears. There's what a limitation is. There's no other limitation. There is no other limitation. Is everybody who gets adjusted? Is everybody who gets adjusted going to survive? No, because certain people want to die. They will choose to die. It's my turn. I'm ready to go. I don't want to live anymore. I will not accept the innate to flow through my body. And they die. When a patient comes to see me with cancer, the first question I ask them is, do you want to live or do you want to die? And you will be absolutely surprised at how many people say to me, I really would like to die. And I say, fine, I will try to make your dying as comfortable as possible. But if they say, I want to live, and you remove the interference, and you really, really remove the interference, you just stand back and get out of the way. I told you this last meeting. A patient come in to see me, 22 years old, young female, laid on my table, on her back, had fibroid tumors that were so large, I could see them protruding through her trousers. I popped it, it felt like grapefruit. She came in to get adjusted because her husband had talked her into doing it. And I went up to the head of the table and I saw her healed. And I moved the atlas and she screamed. And I said, what's the matter? She said, they're gone. And I walked down and I put my hand on her belly and there were no more fibroid tumors in the matter of a third of a second. And I said, okay. She was going to the hospital on Monday to have them surgically removed. I said, go have the ultrasounds done on Monday. She went, had the ultrasounds on, no sign. Nothing. No sign of any fibroid tumor. Where'd the fibroid tumors go? Where did they go? Where did they go? You want to put a limit on innate? You want to put a limit on them? Hey, you want to say, well, the Nate can only do this much? Oh, no, the Nate can do this much. Oh, no, the Nate can maybe do this much. Maybe even this much. Okay. No limit! None. I come out of the Army with an irregular heartbeat. I got adjusted for 4 weeks, no more irregular heartbeat. Where'd the irregular heartbeat go, guys? Come on. See, universal intelligence to me, you make it whatever you want. Universal intelligence to me is the thing that we call God. All right, now, I'm going to sit with you. Since innate is just a personification of that, I want each one of you to stand up and tell me the list of limitations that God has. Who wants to start? If God has no limitations, and innate intelligence is merely a personified manifestation of that, right? What's the limitations? Where is the limit? A patient comes into your office, and you heard John. A person comes into your office and says, doctor, can you help me? You say, I certainly can. When I remove the interference and the innate flows through you, you will get better. And the patient's innate hears your innate, and there is a connection between the two, and now you put your hand on the patient, and you are one with the patient, and you see the patient as well, and you adjust them, and your innate blends with their innate, and it starts to change. It starts to change. How long am I going to have to come in, doctor? I have no idea. I don't know. I used to give them a schedule. I don't give them a schedule anymore because they have too many people after the first adjustment got up healed. I had a guy fly down from Canada. Could not move his neck. Hadn't been able to move his neck for 5 years. Put him on a table, adjusted him, he got moved his neck. Perfectly all right. 5 years, right? What happened to all those short muscles? And he says to me, doc, my knees, I'm arthritic. I went down, I held his atlas, I touched both his knees, I said, get up and walk. He got up, he said, doc, they're gone. Look at this, I can do this. Look at this, doc. Who wants to stand up and give me the limitations? Is that because Richard J. Santo is that great? No. It's because innate is that great. Innate is that great. You utilize the same innate that I utilize. There's no difference between me and you. None! We are both pieces of earth surrounded by mind, surrounded by soul. We are body, mind, and spirit. Every person in this room, everyone in this room is a child of God who has a mission in life. And your mission in life is to love your brothers and sisters. And how do you love your brothers and sisters? You love your brothers and sisters by utilizing the talent that God gave you to make their lives better. And the talent that God gave you was to enable you to reconnect them. And if you do this, if you get up on Monday morning and you go to your office with one thing in mind, I will locate and remove as much interference in as many people as I possibly can. Innate will start sending you more people than you know what to do with. They will line up in front of your office. And you will come in and listen, trust your hands. Forget your brain. Trust your hands. When the patient comes in, let your hands go where they want to go. They'll know where to go. And when they go, you move it, it's over, it's gone. Who's next? Bang! Who's next? And you do this for your life. As long as you're physically able to do it. And then when you die, and you go to wherever you are going next, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. You were part of my creative process. Your efforts had lifted the earth closer to the direction I intended it to go. I got this from Paula. I love this. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, unity. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is error, truth. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. It is the prayer of St. Francis. St. Francis lived his life. St. Francis was ridiculed. He was thrown in prison. He was banished. But he lived his life. I'm asking you, live your life. Live your life. Be free. Don't be afraid of anything. Because if you are one with the Spirit, if you are one with innate, nothing bad will ever happen to you. Nothing. And you will enjoy happiness beyond your wildest dreams. And you will find out what it is like to be you. The innate in me blesses the innate in you. Peace.